Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but a leg run's grinding home from Fear Endless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron, threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite on the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon. Wicks down the middle. Kingswell Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. It's myself, Ben Caluzzi, and Will Alford on tonight. Nicomo McGualter has actually gone for a bit of a sojourn, but he's
a hiatus
up on the Gold Coast with family, much needed getaway. So he might chime in right at the end and give a couple of jumps, tips, and maybe give his best. But for starters, it's just us. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, all good. Nothing untoward. All good.
Nothing happening during the week?
Not really, no.
Do you want to tell anyone about some of the stuff you're doing on the sidelines or not really?
Oh, not really. I don't know. I'm just doing some stuff for Racing and Sports as well as racing.com now, so.
Beautiful.
I don't know.
So the hours and hours of doing form and riding slowly come together.
Yeah, I don't know. It's good, I guess.
It's good.
I don't know. It gives me something to do other than riding and form.
Yeah. No, it is good. It is good.
It's pretty much both those things intertwine anyway. I'm doing form and I'm riding. So it's essentially just the same thing.
Yeah. Form comments, riding. You're doing, obviously, your own race previews, pricing. So,
yeah.
It's good. What days are you working, like 5 days a week with .com or no?
Nah.
It's only like sort of part-time.
Yeah, no, it's casual work.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, this sort of feels like it's not the start of spring, but it's almost
the first moving day.
Yeah, exactly right. We've got 4 stakes races. We've got the Quizette for the fillies, the Vane for the colts and geldings. We've got an okay Regal Roller, and we've got a PB Lawrence, which I thought it was a good race. We get Private Eye down from Sydney. He's favourite. Private Eye was meant to run in the Missile last week, but they completely abandoned the race. So, did you see that?
Yeah, that's dodgy, isn't it?
Can't they just run it? Like
scrape a race?
Like completely not run it in 2025, a time honoured black type race. Like surely they just postpone it, reinstate the scratchings.
All the horses are first up, so like they need to run. To get ready for the races that they're being set for. So, like, they have, you know, I mean, Private Eye was scratched before.
But he still would have had the chance to run, you know, if they postponed it.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, it's a bit of a shit show up there, and it's feels like it's authoritarian-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sydney's loss is our gain with some respects because we've got one of their banner horses and he's favourite.
$3 favourite for the PB Lawrence.
So there you go. Track, currently a soft six, bit of rain tomorrow. Rail 9 at Caulfield. Often it can actually play okay. And obviously when we do get that rain and those soft tracks, they can edge away from the fence more and more as the day goes on. Especially at Caulfield, we can see them getting really wide. What do you think of the track?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be a 5 or a 6. I think it'll get better than what it is now. It won't be a good track by any means, but I think that you'll be wanting to be running line. I don't think you want to be inside.
Yep.
In inside lanes. Yep. It'll deteriorate throughout the day is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, that's important to note. All right, we're going to start in race 2. Benchmark 74, 1,800 metres. Really fascinated to see what you're backing here. Skipper's Canyon was a good last start winner on the hillside at Sandown. $3.80 favourite from Federer. Drawn the car park, or drawn in Melbourne Park. That was a little joke that I used on .com the other day. $4.20. MacDane is $7. Farnborough, $9. And Ruakaka Raider, $10. Which way did you go here?
Well, this race, I was tossed and turned a bit, but I think I'm going to end up backing Federer. I think you could probably get, there's no rush to take $4.20. MacDane gets a really nice map. And this Skipper's Canyon won really, really well at Sandown. We're running big splits, but it's got no gate speed. And it's going to find itself in an awkward position. And some of these, I think some of the early markets are pricing some of these really nice sectional times horses a little bit too short. I think there was an edge there, but I think that edge has dried up, and these big sectional times horses, you know, I think you want to, I mean, you know, it can win. I'm not saying it can't win. I've got $5, but I think that $3.70 best price is a bit short, especially the way it essentially just matched its New Zealand number. First up, but it ran big splits over that, so it'll improve up to 1,800 meters. It probably wants further in time, but I thought Federer with Blake Shin could roll across, fit in somewhere in the running line, and based on his run 2 back where he hit the line really, really hard running some nice sectionals and then held up last time, and that race was quite poor, but he was held up for the majority of the straight, and you know, these horses need to build momentum. I half thought he wanted a bit further now.
That was my little annoyance.
But he's got a lot of speed. Like, you know, we saw it at Randwick that day where he exploded and like ran some really, really quick sectionals. So he's got a bit of speed. Maybe he's not looking for a mile and a half. He's looking for this sort of somewhere between a mile and 2,000. So Federer is on top for me there.
All right, great. We move on to race 3, 1,400 meter benchmark, 78, fillies and mares, Gala Queen. 1,100 metres to 1,400 metres, $3.70 favourite from Bossy Bonita, $6, Sassy Boom, $8.50, gets the claim. Riverina Power is $12 and Vienna Vixen, $14. The key scratching to come out of this is Sacred Rocks, who goes to Sydney, I believe. I'll quickly go first. Gala Queen is a horse that you were really keen on last time. I thought she ran well enough, got back a really long way, you know, potentially in restricted room in the straight. I think she wants all the 1,400. The big jockey upgrade from Joe Bowditch to Blake Shin. And I hope she just
hanging
sort of,
off at last start.
Yeah, hope she just sort of blends in 3 wide running line, as you mentioned. And I reckon she might be a little bit better than these. I really like the step up in trip. And I don't think a soft track is that much of an issue. What did you think?
No, I think she's probably, with Sacred Rocks out especially, I think she's definitely a bet now. Because I was a bit iffy on Sacred Rocks, but now that it's out, I'm quite confident and I'm quite comfy. That 370 now is probably pretty takeable.
She'll start shorter, surely.
But maybe. The syndicates might knock the 11 to 1400 meters. That's the one sort of query on a deteriorating track, and that could be something that people are against. But I mean, where else do you look? I thought Silver Cliff would be able to go well in the backup if it's still alive from last start. But the winning form, there's nothing going through the grades that's gonna hit this and spike. Maybe Riverina Power was really good a couple of weeks ago behind Bergerac. Bossy Bonita was off its best last start, but before that was really good. I don't know. I just think she's clearly the one to beat, and I think 340 is probably a right price. Maybe a little bit short on that. I could push it down into it, like maybe 320.
Yeah. If she improves off last start, I reckon she'll be winning, and I think she'll start shorter than 370. So I'd be happy to take that price now, and that's exactly what I've done.
I reckon I almost think if she had a jockey on last start, she might have even won.
Wow. Is Joe Bowditch not a jockey?
I'm like, no comment.
Whack. That's
it's a passenger.
He's back in Federer in race two, and he's given a back end in race three. Race four. Thanks, mate. 1400. You need to be witty when you're reading out markets all the time, and you're not, you know, you're not the form person. So you're there to read out markets, put a smile on your face, and give the odd joke. These are the little things you come up with. Race four, 1400 meter benchmark 84. Kiapa, 39.
Kiapa.
Gee, he's knocking on the door, and he's got some decent ratings to his name, so fair play to him, but needs another win on the board. $4 favorite from Stylish, $4.60. True to Form, $9. Home Rule, $12. How did Home Rule even win two starts ago? Like, so possibly. I don't know how that happened. Porter, $12, and Castle on High, $13. What was your lean?
If Kiapa is a right second up, if he would have had one more run, I'd absolutely steam into it. But you know, like he sets up so well here. That rating last time just looks so good against this group of horses, and I think he can just hold that. If he holds that form, I think he wins. He's got the kid in the saddle, but I think Luke Cartwright's capable enough if he fits in running line. I think, I think he's probably more like a $3.20 chance. So I'm probably gonna be backing Kappa 39. Also, one horse to keep a little bit of an eye on, see what the market does with it, is Spanish Blaze, who makes his Australian debut. It's got some numbers and it's trialed well and all that sort of stuff. So it's one to keep an eye on and see what the early market is sort of irrelevant, but it's been 10s out to 17s. So maybe that means it's not here to win, but it's got some good enough form overseas that would have it competitive in this field. But Kappa 39 is a 320 chance for me.
Bot says he's got the kid in the saddle. So you've little bro'd Luke Cartwright, who's probably the same age as you.
Is he? No, he's probably like younger than me.
Luke, he might be a Cartwright year younger than you.
Age.
What is he, 19?
I've got Luke Cartwright football stats. He's, I don't think it's the same Luke Cartwright.
Luke Cartwright jockey. It should be on racing.com, but it probably won't even load, let's be honest. Stylish. Did you touch on Stylish last start?
He's 19, so he's 2 years younger than me.
2 years younger. There you go.
I just think she's hard to knock because she's the map horse and she'll always get a great run. But she's I think she's probably a bit short here. But she's going to get a great run, and it's hard to knock her because she might get the perfect map while Kappa 39 might not. There's a chance Kappa 39 sort of cast, but I think he should get in the running line.
And one horse that the boys will want us to touch on is number two, Reinberg,
of course, yeah.
Who gets the new colours. I think they're actually Tice's colours, aren't they?
They are Tice's colours, yeah.
Yeah, they are. And obviously goes from Lindsay Park to Group 1 Gav. Look, it's a big weight. He doesn't exactly have the knockout ratings, but what do you expect from him here?
I mean, if Gav can improve him back to his best form, then he's, you know, he's like a $5, $4 chance in this. I know he'd win this race if he was at his best.
Yeah.
But he's just sort of been out of form for a while, and he's had a couple issues from what I can understand. And but yeah, if Gav is a master at getting these horses right and improving them back to their best, so it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Reinberg bounce back to form with Gav.
Yep. And congrats to Gav. He actually won Rising Star Trainer.
Yeah, Rising Star Trainer. Didn't he look dapper?
He did. And he absolutely hated the attention.
I'm sure he did.
I was speaking to him there. But yeah, good on you, Gav. Rising Star. He probably doesn't even like that name either.
No, nah, he'd hate it.
Given he's not a spring chicken. No, good on him. All right, race five, the Vane Stakes, Group 3, 1,100 metres. This is for the Colts and Geldings. I think it's run at set weights and penalties. Shining Smile, best price is $4.25. Jimmy Ricard has been well supported. I think Some Corpse opened up $7, now into $4.40. Son of Kirk, $5.50. Tycoon Star, $6. And the Archibald Nation runner is Hay Street, $8. Well, you better mention McGaw. He obviously won the showdown. He's there at $9. Really good race. Shaggy should lead. I don't know if you saw, but Shaggy gets the blinkers on first time.
Yeah, they're going to go handlebars down.
So that, like, he went too fast last time probably, and he's probably going to go fast again.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think the race will set up?
Well, I think Shining Smile probably, if they want to win, they should go be handlebars for to sit outside lead. I think Tycoon Star will push up. Jimmy Ricard will be there. I think Express Pass and Son of Kirk probably go back, and then Hay Street sort of fits in the middle.
Yeah.
I think Tycoon, it just surprised me, like, from just a early market point of view, that Tycoon Star wasn't the early dodgy favorite. Like, he didn't go up $4 and it was like, oh yuck, we'll bet around that. He's $6. And he was just about the run of the race in the Blue Diamond, and it's got me thinking, well, $6 for probably the best horse in the race, and he's trialed well and all that sort of stuff. I mean, like, it feels like a muggy bet. It feels like a mug bet, but
call me a mug.
Yeah. But $6 it's almost backable. You can't get better than $6 for this horse, can you?
I don't think so.
Mark Zara on with a soft map.
I don't think so. He's one of two horses I've backed. He's actually, I don't know if you've noticed this or if you've seen, but his two trials have actually been really sharp.
Like, yeah, he's gone to the front.
He's gone to the front, which isn't really what we've seen in his campaign.
Yeah, in his two-year-old campaign, he drew wide in pretty much all of them, and they took him back, and he was the big closer. But if they can get him to settle forward, he doesn't have to be that. He doesn't have to be the flashy eye catcher. He can be the strong on pace sort of type. But if it was 1,200 meters, I'd be dead keen to mark him $3.50 and launch him. But
yep.
1,100 meters is a little bit iffy, and I've got him about $4.80, so it's still a bet, but it's not like I'm.
So you're still undecided if you are going to back him?
Yeah, I'm sort of like, I'll probably back him, but like,
yep.
I'm not going to steam into him or anything.
Well, he is one of my two bets, as I mentioned. I have taken $6. As we mentioned, Shaggy's going to go really fast in front here. Shining Smile is going to be right there in second. And I think it might set up for the two big closers, and they are Tycoon Star and Son of Kirk, who I'm going to back as well. Son of Kirk, he's got the same colours. He's in the same camp. He does give a little bit of Artorias vibes. He might not be anywhere near as good, but he's a horse who ran all over Oyster Lane last time. He was held up along the rails, sprinted really fast that final sort of 200, 300, and he's crying out for more ground. As you said, if it was 1,200 metres, I'd be even more keen on Son of Kirk and Tycoon Star. But 1,100 metres, I'm still confident enough to back them both. Shining Smile might just be found wanting that final 100, that final 50 off a really fast tempo. And if this was 1,000 metres, I'd probably be more confident in him. But I'm happy to let him go. And Jimmy Ricard, I don't know. He was good last time, but I'm happy to take him on as well. Did you have any thoughts on Jimmy or any other runners?
I thought that Jimmy wanted every bit of 1,200. I know it's the Flemington 1,200, not a Caulfield 1,200 meter, so it's different. But I thought he wanted every bit of it, and $4.20 is the best price, and that seems ridiculous to me. I thought he'd have to soften. There's been good form out of the race, but I couldn't touch that price.
Yep. McGaw the same. Like, doesn't this horse want further?
He wants further, but I think that his $9 is probably right. I thought that Caulfield win was massive.
Yeah.
If he blows, if he continues to get out lucky, you know, he's $5.50 out to $9. If he's sort of $12, I'm going to chop on him.
And any opinion, Hay Street? I don't really.
Nah, it's sort of basic, I thought. $7.50 looks short to me.
Yeah, it's a weird price.
Yeah. I mean, Tycoon Star's $6 and it's $7.50. Like,
yeah.
What's
give me Tycoon Star every day of the week. All right, speaking of horses, you can give me the Quizette Stakes, 1,100 meter Group 3. I reckon this could be potentially the best three-year-old in the country. Her name is Scenic Point, number 4. She's $2.80 favorite from Signature Scent, $4. My Gladiola, $8. The Playwright, $8.50. And Ferivia, $10. Blue Hotel's worth a mention as well. Really, really strong debut win. So early map is the Playwright should just go straight to the front.
I don't think this leads with no pressure.
Yeah, it won't be as fast as the boys' division early, I wouldn't have thought.
No, not at all. I don't know what goes with it. Thanks Gorgeous will go with it, but the Playwright will get a soft time of it.
Signature Scent wants to be forward.
Yeah, it does too. My Gladiola should be there, but it's going back, which is an absolute travesty because it went forward to be a $4 chance and I'd launch it, but it's going back and it's like a, yeah, whatever.
They're spooked.
What a disgrace.
They're spooked from the Prelude when it went forward and got beat by Palm Angel and it was odds on.
They don't understand what actually. Because he was like necking it half the race and he got keen. Like he had it in a headlock. Like obviously it didn't. Anyway, it's a fast horse and they should let it be fast. But yeah, whatever, well, here we are. It's going to go back to last.
You can dead set market 20-1 here.
Nah, not that price.
It's going back to last. It cannot win.
I think it's a pretty good horse. I think it might be. I don't know. I think Scenic Point's very good, but I don't know about the best horse, the best 3-year-old in the country. I don't know.
Well, who are the best 3-year-olds in the country? We don't.
I don't know. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Like it's like Wotan, Tentris. Like it's they're not that.
Pictor. Pictor.
There he goes. Any chance of you getting a price?
Oh, well, nah, I think he's a good horse. But, she missed the start and did a lot of things wrong at Caulfield and on a fast track. And, you know, it was an impressive win. But, yeah, I mean, she's obviously favoured. I think she's about a $2.90 chance, and that's exactly what the market says. So, I mean, it's no betting. I thought the one that was half interesting was Custom, who resumed with a big win first up. Ran nice sectionals and gets a relatively soft mat with Ethan Brown on, I thought.
Yep. I guess the good 3-year-olds you can probably think of are Nepotism up in Sydney, Autumn Boy. Some of those ones. They're probably more milers rather than sprinters, but yeah, those are in the conversation as well. Look, I was very fortunate. A certain bookmaker put up $3.90 for Scenic Point.
Yeah, what was the... I missed that. Fuck.
And I was very quick to snap it up. I don't know how many bets they would have accepted at $3.90, but yeah, I think what she did in her first campaign was very, very smart. She was still a little bit green at Caulfield, but it was one of the easiest, softest one-length victories you'll ever see. Started at $1.40. And the most recent jump out at Flemington was just plain rude. It was so, so good. So I think she'll sit up nearer the speed, probably fourth or fifth rails with Daniel Stackhouse on board. And I think she will charge and run down Signature Scent, who's got to be the main danger, but I'm very keen on Scenic Point. She just has to tick that wet track box. It'll probably be a soft 6, which he hasn't been on yet. But yeah, other than that, I do think this horse is Daniel Stackhouse's best chance yet to win that elusive Group 1. And I'm really hoping he does this spring. Race 7, it's the Regal Roller. Listed race, 1,200 meters. Arkansas Kid. Opened about $7, is now into $5. Lose Some, Win More, also $5. Brudenell, $6. Recommendation, open favourite with most books, is now $6.50. Royal Insignia is $7.50. So is Pop Award. Then you're way out to sort of $17 and longer the rest. You were interested in backing one at a bit of value here.
Yeah, Royal Insignia resumed last trip in the Manfred, where he ran like just sectionals that would suggest he's a proper horse and like better than the Bear Result. And then he went to Flemington in the CS Hayes and got too far back. And you could blame the ground, but I'm you know, like he's failed on the wet track, which is fine. But I just don't think he's stayed at all. And I think he's a sprinter and he's bred to be a sprinter. He's a half to I Am Immortal or something. I Am, you know, think it won a blue diamond. So
yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm Immortal.
Yeah, I think he's a bet here. The map's gross, but I think regardless of that, he's a bet because, you know, I think he could be top. I think this could be like a Rupert Clark Smoky, or what price is he for the Rupert Clark? You have a look. Like a Newmarket handicap sort of next year sort of horse. I think he's a really, really nice horse. Arkansas Kid has been well supported. I probably should have taken $7. I was looking at it. I was like, meh. Brudenell opened a bit big as well. It's been well backed. I thought Recommendation was a hole in the market.
Yeah, great. Is he on the backup or did he race 2 weeks ago?
No, on the backup. Yeah. And then Lose Some, Win More, I thought was a little bit of a hole in the market as well. I mean, it can't start $5, can it? Like, would it have beat Call to Glory last time? I know the rating looks good and all that sort of stuff, but again, you just think about these things, and it's not that price.
Yeah, I think the ratings, you know, and the 54 kilos is the only reason it can be that price. But
yeah, especially like over these sprinting distances, I just can't have it that.
It was running in what benchmark 70s, like not that long ago, 78s.
Yeah. Yeah, and Pop Awards, the other one, it being the same price as Royal Insignia is just mind-blowing to me. It's so poorly handicapped, but, you know, it's a good horse, and I wouldn't be surprised if it blows out to $12 and I'd chop on it. So as much as I've bagged it.
Brudenell was the one I had sitting there in my bet slip at $7.50. I hesitated. I didn't take it, and the price has sort of gone a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I think he's a good horse, and he's probably going to map really well here. The in-flight form is good. Got to carry a little bit of weight, but he'd probably be my on-top selection, but in a race I've got no confidence in, and I'm not having a bet as yet.
Hmm. I just really like Royal Insignia, and I'm excited about him as a prospect moving forward.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the day's feature.
Did you say what price he was?
He wasn't in the Bet365 market. Like, I don't think a lot of people would think it's going to a Rupert Clark.
Where else does it go?
Oh, here we go. Tab, price knocked, 51 into 26.
Yeah.
What price would entertain you, 51?
I don't know. I was just out of interest.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, the day's feature, PB Lawrence, Group 2, Weight for Age. It's over the 1400, of course, and it's the main lead up to the Memsey Stakes in a couple more weeks' time. Private Eye, as mentioned at the top of the show, $3 favorite from Evaporate, who was the clear-cut favorite in all-in markets. He's about $3.80, $3.90. Here to Shock, $6.50. Desert Lightning, $9.50. And Seppels is getting out to a decent price here, but he's now $11.
Yeah.
And Moira, $14. So the map is interesting. Desert Lightning from Barrier 1, he only knows one way. He goes forward. Here to Shock draws 11, so he's another on-speed runner. Do you think he crosses them all to lead, or do you reckon Desert Lightning leads and Here to Shock just sits outside?
Well, I listened to Julian Valance's preview, and he said that Yellow Sam, and he knows the stable.
Yellow Sam to lead.
Yellow Sam's going to be handlebars down to lead.
Wow. Right.
And make it a test, which is smart because the only way you're going to win this race is to run the unfit ones off their feet.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think it can win with all due respect to them. This is a higher grade of race. Yeah, Here to Shock probably comes across. It is first up and it improves the run, but you'd think it has to roll across from that barrier. Desert Lightning will be thereabouts. Evaporate. I think it probably gets a really soft map, gets the 1-1. Private Eyes map's a little bit tricky. It's been hammered, actually. I was sort of thinking about taking $4. No, it's gone. It's $3 now. Sepals is one I think it's going to continue to soften the way the market's moving. I could be completely wrong. My opinion in this race is not as strong as some people's. I don't really want to bet. I'll probably have a bet in this race, just a couple small ones, but I'm not going to like probably half stake. But I don't think that there's much between, and I'm not completely sold on this, but I don't think there's much between Sepals and Evaporate. Based on what they've done so far, I think there's a lot of, Evaporate continues to improve. But he had the greatest run of all time last time, beat Swift Falcon. And he was three wide the trip in the Futurity, but I don't know. The pace there was slow. I can't have him that price. I think he's more like a $5 chance. And Sepal's more like an $8.50 chance. So I've got a bit between them. Most of that's map as well.
Well, Sepals started favourite in an Australian Guineas off the back of a really dominant CS Hayes stakes win. So he does feel a little bit forgotten at $11.
I mean, I'm going to be on him for sure.
Yeah. The early bet that we've had on my subscription service the sixth day, sorry to all the punters, last week was not a good week, but just wasn't.
Wasn't it? What happened?
Well,
what
I
was
had one
last week.
Mini Valley.
Escher won. That's all that mattered.
Yeah. I didn't. I backed it in futures for the Moya, but I didn't have a really good red hot crack at it as a single on Saturday. And
well, it can't win the Moya. So
Lizette was one of my bigger
bets.
That's
right. Yeah.
Oh, gee. I just thought he'd go and win that. And he still ran second, but it was still disappointing. Anyway, it wasn't a good week last week, but we're going to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off. We've locked in $5 for Private Eye all in. So it's obviously a good price. I think good pressure in this race should suit him. Soft track should suit him. Caulfield with this rail likely off by race 8. And he's just going to be charging on him later, isn't he?
What price did you say he took?
$5.
Oh, fuck. That's a good price.
Yeah. His recent trial at Warwick Farm on a heavy track was really good, and he'll have some residual fitness from the Queensland winter, where he ran third in a Stradbroke with top weight behind War Machine. He ran awesome. So, look, he's getting a little bit long on the tooth now, but he's still a very good horse.
No, he's been one of the best sprinter milers in Australia for the last sort of 2 to 3 years, and, like, based on that, like, he has to be. Oh, you can't Evaporate just doesn't take over. Like, Private Eye has been at the top for that long, and I don't think Evaporate's done anything to warrant being. I mean, it's obviously not favourite, but it was, is my point. Also, another one interesting is Moira, who was heavily backed in the Doncaster. I think it was about, it was like 50s into $12 Betfair SP in the Doncaster. And to counter my own point, Zach Purton Road, and that could have been something to do with, you know, the Hong Kong punters getting involved. But still, it's interesting. She's got some overseas form that measures up to this grade of race. So she's interesting. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they rolled forward on her.
Yep. Just a couple more quickly. Pinstripe was $7 in this race last year. Probably unlucky not to win. Just got beaten by Gentleman Roy, and then he went and won a Memsey. Where is he at? Because he's $17.
Yeah, he trialed well, I thought. I mean, I don't have an eye for it because I don't really care about it, but I had a look. And I mean, if he ran second to, who did he run second
Gentleman
to?
Roy in this race last year.
In this race last year?
Yeah.
Sorry. And then he won the
knocked off
the
Mr. B.
Memsie.
Yeah,
knocked off Mr. B in the Memsie. So, I mean, if he rocks up that sort of form, then he's a big chance. But I'd like to see it first because he had that bad preparation.
Yeah, and Attrition is a decent horse, but he probably went further than this, and this is just a little blowout.
Yep.
All right. Race 9 real quick. Benchmark 100, mile, Revelare, $4, two down discreet, one last start. Real spike on its recent ratings, $8. Kings Valley, $8.50. Forgot You, $9. Running by 11s. Cafe Millennium, also 11s. Just a quick synopsis on this race.
Yeah, I thought you had to be against Revelare from gate two with Ryan Hurdle riding it at a mile. I couldn't be on it. I thought Forgot You was clearly the bet in the race. I think it's more like a 650 chance. I think it'll roll forward. Not forward, but I think it probably settles in the first sort of six, maybe first eight in run. And if it gets a nice run, I think it'll win.
Fantastic. All right. That's Caulfield wrapped up. Any other comments?
No.
All right, time for Around the Grounds. Have you had a look at Seymour on Friday? I note race one is a nice little contest between Yum and Fenestella. And BZ's trial horse comes up in race five. It's a shade of odds on Catch the Wind. First start, B. Mallum, Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. That's race five, number 14, Catch the Wind.
It beats Signature two races. Descent and Trial.
Yeah, those are two races of interest. So which way are you going?
Yum will win race one.
Oof, strong.
Yeah, pretty keen. I think it's just faster than Fenestella. I think Fenestella is probably a 2,000-meter horse, whereas this has got a bit of zip in it. So I think it'll win it. I think the trial horse is a little bit scary after summer, but I think no, it's been backed. Yeah, no, that's fine. 230 is backable price. Go for it.
Fenestella did hit a big flat spot in that race last start at Flemington, then sort of picked up and charged.
It didn't hit a flat spot. It just maintained the same speed. It sort of kept coming. It just wants more ground. It just sustained the exact same speed for 600 meters.
Well, the others dropped it between the
because they went quicker than
two.
It.
Yeah,
and it didn't have the speed. It didn't have turn of foot. This one Yum does.
And facilitate for the Corson's Larkin team in race four.
Yeah, I mean, it looks a bit squibby, but it surely just wins. It's trialed up well. It was trialed next to Scenic Point. What race is that race for?
Race four, yeah.
It trialed next to Scenic Point, who's obviously favourite in the Quizette. It's got some nice form lines, ran second and no limitation. And I went to Caulfield that day. I don't think it was poor there, but like we've got form before that to suggest that it's good enough to knock off a maiden like this, and it's trialed well, and I think it's been gelded too. So, has been gelded.
All right, great. They're racing at Rosehill Gardens, and it's a very wet track. It's a heavy night at the moment, and I think there's more rain on the way tomorrow. So we're looking genuine heavy. A couple races of note. Race four, Tuileries and Amrikia. Clash. Sacred Rocks is also in this race. Tuileries is probably no good thing to actually run because it has been scratched the last two times on heavy tracks, so I'd be wary of that runner even going around. Amrikia also scratched, or either scratched or the races didn't end up getting run the last start. I think it's your default, it's your one on top, so I'd be back in Amrikia there. Have you looked at the Rosebud at all?
Is that the one with Peloton in it? Or?
Yeah, I'll quickly go through it. It's 1,100 meter listed race for the 3-year-olds. Peloton 260, Skyhook $4. It's got to carry a lot of weight, Skyhook, 16.5. Blitzberg 550, Nashville Jack, a good last start winner in that Nazwa race, is also 550. It's a weird race. Peloton looks a little bit short, but if he, like he, that debut win was so good. I don't know if you remember it. And then he just
yeah, I do.
Then he sort of fell off a cliff, but he might have come back. Maybe he just needed a reset, and his two trial wins have been super.
I think he pulled up lame a couple of times.
Yeah, well, that would make sense.
Oh, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But yeah, he fell off a cliff a little bit, but he's trialed well, I saw.
Skyhook, 60.5. Like, Peloton gets 6.5 kilos off him. I just thought $2.60 was...
He's only had the one trial too.
Yeah. It's a bit of a trappy race. I might leave it. But a race I'm really keen to play on, and it's probably going to be my only bet of the day in Sydney, is race seven, number 7, War Eternal. This is a 1,400 meter 3-year-old plus open handicap. I took $4.20 for War Eternal. He's into about $3.60 now. He's just coming up against a lot of horses who are probably aren't going to be fit and firing, ready to go first up on what's going to be a bottomless heavy 9, heavy 10 track, 1,400. Horse like Birdman, it's been looking good in his trials, but still, this is 1,400 metres first up. This is a horse who went around in a Sydney Cup when we last saw him in a Chairman's. Like, surely just wants further. Our Gold Hope, got to be some danger. Palmetto can sprint well fresh, but yet again, wants further. Kinesiology wants further. Adelaide River wants further and draws out with 60. So War Eternal is third up. He's rock hard fit. He draws barrier 5 for Jason Collett. Gets him with 54 kilos. Drops 4 kilos on last start and was closing off really hard behind the Novelist on a heavy 10 track over 1,300 metres at Rosehill last time. So I think he only needs to hold his form, and he's one of my better bets of the entire day. I'm really keen. I just think the intent's there.
What about Highlights?
Yeah, well, it's probably one that's over the odds as well. It was beaten a fair margin last time, but that was on that same – I think they ran on the same day. Let me just check. Yeah, they ran on the same day, the 2nd of August, on that really sticky, heavy 10 track. He actually has beaten War Eternal home before. So $17 is probably a bit long for him as well. I think punters are just a little bit reserved, given he failed on a heavy track last time.
That Palmetto looks exciting. Had a look at its trial.
Yeah. It's one of the dangers. But he's six starts, 1,400, hasn't won.
I meant Peloton, not Palmetto.
Oh, Peloton. Yeah. In the Rosebud. Yeah, well, he's a $2.60 favorite. There's a fair amount of hype around him. He was one of the favorites.
Oh.
He was one of the favorites for the Golden Slipper. After his debut.
I haven't heard anything. I don't bet there. So
you don't. You just don't. You don't really. I live in a pay bubble. Attention. You don't pay attention to Sydney at all.
I don't pay attention to anything really.
Yeah. Well, before Woden came along and debuted, Peloton was the Golden Slipper favorite after his debut.
Oh, so, was he?
Yeah. It's not like realize. It's one out of the box. But have you looked at the pre-Jacques Lemoyne?
The what?
The pre Jacques Lemoyne.
Who the fuck is running in that?
Rosalian is the $2.50 favorite, which is I think it's this.
Is that
Sunday.
That race in Spiral one?
Yeah. Is it at Deauville? It's in France anyway.
The one that
it's down the straight, isn't it? Light Infantry Man run third or fourth.
Oh, just call it Light Infantry.
Yeah, Light
Such
Infantry.
Such a disgusting disgusting name.
Disgusting man.
Name, I mean.
It's a good race. Rosalian 250, Line in the Winter, $4. Ascoli Pacino, the Japanese horse, $4.50. Notable Speech, $8. And Docklands, $13. I've checked all the weather radars for France, and it looks like they're going to get a dry track. And I had something on the Japanese runner at $5.50. Ascoli Pacino.
Is it fast?
Yes. It's very
fast.
Does
she travel, though? Because she came over here and she didn't perform.
She didn't perform it in that Golden Eagle. No, she didn't.
She went to Dubai though, didn't she?
Yeah, and she ran pretty well there. So I just thought I took $5.50. I thought it was a little bit big. Rosalian is favourite.
It's
got to be one of the ones to beat. But yeah, Ascoli was an overlay for me. I thought it should have been a bit shorter. Docklands, all of his form comes at Ascot. So I don't know if you can trust him, but. It's probably between Ascoli and Rosalian. I'm happy to back the Jap.
How did Rosalian not win at Royal Ascot? That was fucked.
Maybe because you said Docklands isn't that good right after I sent my bet slip in for him at 30-1.
Because he isn't any good. He's shit. I beat him up.
That was good. MZ won and done.
Mark, it's because Mark Zara rode him. He's a freak.
Yeah. All right. Best bets?
Royal Insignia.
Best value?
I reckon we should stop doing this because surely no one takes the best value. Like, I've already...
All right, just take the best bet.
Yeah. Royal Insignia. $7.50, so that counts.
Is there any favourites you want to be against?
Maybe that that New Zealand horse in race two. Kappa Canyon? Oh, no, that's Kappa 39. No, Canyon, something Canyon. I want to be against it. It's a favorite.
Yeah, it is something Canyon. Skipper's Canyon.
That's it.
All right. My best bet would be between race six, Caulfield, number four, Scenic Point, and race seven, Rose Hill, number seven, War Eternal. All right, let's get into some questions.
How many questions have you got this week?
Probably a few. All right, Don, what's some of the best things to be looking at / utilizing when trying to do some of your own form? Get basic ideas from watching enough racing, but no clue on what makes runners better than others.
Just looking at form lines, I guess. Just so like look at, get some sectional times, get some times, get a database, I guess.
Watching replays is still one of the most underrated things. I don't know if Bot believes in that. He's more data driven, but just watch replays and make your own opinion on the races, and then get a decent database. We use Form King to sort of really back up your ideas. Costs a little bit of money, but it's worth it in the long run. Mr. Brightside on Twitter, Mr. B. Oh. Can you explain the main focus forces in the market that make a horse drift? Example, Savvy Halley going from $1.40 to $1.65, who I was actually expecting to shorten close to the jump.
Well, sometimes it's market percentage. Sometimes it's people thinking it's too short and they back other things to beat it.
And is, like do people laying things on Betfair have much of an effect on the overall market?
Well, it's just market? Of course, because that's where the betting happens. That's where the market is. So the corps just follow whatever happens on Betfair.
Yeah. So what Bot means about market percentage is once you get closer to jump time, market percentage comes down. And even in my time, short time working with Bet365, you can have a horse drift from $2.50 out to $3, but the hold that you're holding on them in that race, in that market, can still be easily the worst result for your book, for that bookie. So you can have so people sort of overplay these favorites drifting a little bit. Like a lot of the time they're not really that alarming drifts. It's just the market percentage coming down and they're still the most popular runner in the race easily. So it's just something to note. Aiden Gleason, he's not here. After Nico's take on Hovland, the horse and the golfer last week and being 100% accurate, what are his opinions on Federer, the horse and the tennis player in race two at Caulfield this week?
I feel like Nico would like Federer.
How can you not like Federer?
As in the horse, not the... Yeah, he seemed like a decent bloke.
Oh, the tennis player, I mean.
Yeah, he seemed like he'd be a decent bloke. Like, I don't know. Do you reckon he'd be arrogant or not? I feel like he wouldn't be.
No. I don't think he's the GOAT anymore. I think Novak has overtaken him, but Federer is just beautiful to watch.
Nah, I don't reckon.
What? You don't reckon he's the GOAT?
No, I don't like Djokovic. He's a bit of a dickhead.
He's a bit of a dickhead, but he's still... I still think he's got the best tennis resume of all of them now.
I don't care. He's still a dickhead.
Matt, is Via too short in spring markets? Last spring started $12 first up in the Wink Stakes. And although she did win, we're now getting $2.80 and $2.50 in a Turnbull, Cox Plate, etc. Is it just her Cox Plate number anchoring her to that price?
I mean, they're all in markets, so there's no like, it doesn't really matter. They're not, the promotional markets. But obviously the Cox Plate's making her that short. She's not going to start $13 first up, that's for sure.
Well, you were kicking start out similar.
Note, hey? Yeah, I know.
Did
she
you back
was fucking hell, what a fill up. I think I marked her like $4 or $3 or something. What was I saying? I've forgotten.
She's too short first up in a Wink Stakes.
She probably just start the same price she did last prep. Same sort of, she's probably going to race the same horses and probably start the same price.
But she's vulnerable first up at 14 and to a lesser extent at the mile, second up as well. She's a gun 2,000 meter horse. And I think if she's going to get beaten, it is in those first couple runs.
Yeah, I reckon she get beat first up.
Yeah, so Roxas FC, who would make a better jockey out of the three of you, and why is it Bot? Well, probably well, because he weighs about 20 kilos less than me and Nico, 25 kilos less. That might have something to do with it.
25? How much do you think I weigh?
I'm hitting about 95 at the moment.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm not 70 kilos.
Well, you're 80?
Yeah.
High 70s?
Yeah, high 70s.
It's nearly 20.
Roxas FC. Not my fault you're fat, mate.
It is not all muscle. There's some jiggle there. Roxas FC. Race 5 at Flemington, making me moister than an oyster. Well, that is the vain stakes.
Oh, my God, look who's joined us.
With the Oyster Lane
formalized. Does that mean I have to sit through fucking Nico's jump set now?
Nico, where are you joining us from? The car?
I'm in the car, yes. Boys.
All right, we're halfway, we're halfway through questions. We're almost wrapping up, so... If you can, just give us your quick set, a couple best bets, and your jumps. We don't want this podcast to go forever.
No, that's fine. Where are we? Race, Caulfield Race 3.
Yep.
Gala Queen.
Beautiful.
Second up, Rising Trip, Shinny On, blends in and should be hard to beat. Most progressive horse in the race.
Great.
Caulfield Race 6, Scenic Point. Simply think she's the best horse in the race, drawn perfect, should belt them.
Yep.
Race 8, only two horses that can win. Number 6, Evaporate, very excited about what this horse may do for the carnival ahead. Lead up work to this has been super. Shinny On, good gate. Looks a terrific bet. Will be some resistance in a Memsey in 2 weeks' time to Antino and another Will. Happy to take on Private Eye at all costs. And I think Pinstripe is a stupid price. He ran second in this race last year. He beat Mr. Brightside in the Memsey, and he's raced against those good horses every start since. So there's no another Will, Antino, Mr. Brightside here. I think he's a stupid price. He's going to get the right surface, fresh up, 1,400. He's a great bet. Yeah, he doesn't look to be past his best from his trials. So you just got to take it on trust and, yeah. He's a stupid price, I think. It's ridiculous, the price he is at, $17, $18 at the moment. And then in the last, I love Revelare as a horse, but why is too darn discreet the price she is? She's unbeaten at the mile, was super last start, handles soft going, gets the gun run into the race to blend in at the right time. They'll be off the fence by the last, and she's got the fitness edge over her main rivals. I can't understand why she's the price she is. She's an each way special, I think.
Great. And give us your quick jump summary.
And then we lead to Sunday. Where are we? So we need prices out to be completely 100%. But I thought T-Waters will go up favourite in the maiden hurdle. Golden Crusader will go up second favourite, hopefully $3. And he'll be the bet. The second race was disgusting, no interest. And then in the Gotta Take Care hurdle, I think Split's a certainty. Gets Pateman, perfect placement from Payne, just go through the grades, win here, minimum for the Gallywood next year, fresh up, just looks a put in take out job.
It's the horse that beat Highland Blaze on the flat in that 3-horse race.
Correct. Affluential was third.
Yep.
The JJ will be interesting with betting. I don't know what the market's going to do, but there may be an edge there, I think. And then in the feature,
give me the gun.
I love Stern Idol more than anyone.
Give me the gun.
I didn't think that he could beat Noonday, giving him 5 kilos. He's giving him 10 kilos.
Give me the gun.
There's just no way that he can beat him. It's going to be cruel to see, but yeah, he's a certainly Nuno gun.
And there's no way he goes up favourite. He'll go up at least $3, surely.
Well, what do you reckon will happen in the market?
I think Stern will be like $1.90, $2. Yeah. And if we get $3 Noonday, let's go.
What do you reckon, Bob?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. That's helpful.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love Stern. He might be a different horse now, but yeah, I've been burnt before. I'm not going to be burnt again.
10 kilos. We were just saying about how much more I weigh than Bot. It's nearly 20 kilos. So that's 10 kilos. It's a lot of weight.
It's a lot of weight. So yeah, that's that.
All right. Your best bet would be who?
Scenic
Point.
I don't know. So who have you taken for the podcast multi?
Well, Bot's got Royal Insignia. I'm at like $7.50 in the
take it a place if you want. I don't care.
You can always just bypass that one and just take a double. So we need something solid here, Nick.
Well, you'll take Scenic Point, I'll take.
I was either Scenic Point. Or I'm really keen War Eternal. I don't know if you've seen my commentary. Race 7, Rose Hill, the 7. Heavy track, 1,400 metres third up, just against resuming plotters.
I'm going to go with...
Noonday.
Can I go with Noonday?
Yeah, bloody oath we can.
Let's go with Noonday.
Noonday, all right. I'll go Scenic Point. Just one question directed at you was from Aidan Gleeson. After Nico's take on Hovland, the horse and the golfer last week being 100% accurate, what are his opinions on Federer, the horse, firstly, race 2 Caulfield, and the tennis player?
Well, I put the heels in the horse last start. I thought he's not the same horse as what he was last preparation.
Yep, you got it right. And
I was right again. And the horse isn't exactly doing the tennis player justice at the moment. He's not one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah. All right. That's enough in itself. All right, a couple more questions. Casual call out. Can Ma bring out the best in Observer, young Bot? You may need to play into the futures market for a Cox plate at 100-1.
I will not be doing that.
Yeah, you're a fraud.
It's going to be interesting to see how he goes with Ma and if he can get more out of him.
Just a flashy 2-year-old from Winter.
All right. Mitch says, hey, boys, what's your opinion on the all-in betting right now? Example, Scenic Point being $2.20 in the week and opening up $3.50, even open up longer with one book. Evaporate $4 into $3 as well. And now he's a much bigger price, final field. It's not like they've drawn badly or anything and they open up a lot longer. Well, the all-in market is just, it's just a joke at the moment. People will see these horses that they want to back and their eyes just light up. They see Scenic Point $3 and they just go, they just get itchy fingers and they go, I want to have $200 on Scenic Point all in. And that $200 just shortens them. A couple of people do that, bang, into $2.20. It's just not a proper market. It's not real. So if you're patient, you still can find value all in. I'm not saying you can't. Like probably was $5 all in, was probably always going to go into favorite at some stage, but you just have to know which triggers to pull. And in WA, he likes Sensational in the second. That looks a good bet. Matty Girl is in race 3 as well. Might be a good little double, Nico.
I haven't done any WA form, but I know that Terry is absentee tomorrow, but Cripper, which is the other big pro punter from WA, is filling in on the form lab. So
Cripper, just listen, it's his brother, isn't it?
It's Paddy Cripps' brother, yeah.
Paddy Cripps' brother, yeah. Yeah, Daniel.
Yeah.
Is it? What the hell? I
didn't know that.
He's a pro punter. So there's like three.
He's a pro punter in WA.
There's sort of three big dogs in WA. Terry, Cripper, and there's another bloke.
Cripper runs focused on gambling at Carlton. That's why they're so shit.
Cripper runs a service. Terry and the other bloke don't. But yeah. He's pretty sharp, but yeah, he's filling in tomorrow for the form lamps there.
All right, a couple more questions. Average racing enough. What comes first, Daniel Stackhouse winning his first Group 1 or Bott getting a gig on the racing airwaves?
Just quietly, how good was his ride on Point Barrow today?
Because it won.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic steer.
It was a good ride. Did you see the second horse in that?
He's the best jockey not to win a Group 1 as we speak currently.
Yeah,
he'll get one. The Waller horse in that race was 50-1, was behind it in the run and finished off really well for second. It's one you can put in your black book, 100%.
It's still got no idea what it's doing in Point Barrow, though. Like, it was in and out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're talking Atlantic Jewel with Point Barrow, so at the Valley in a couple of weeks' time. Chris De Castel, where does Revelare end up at the end of this prep? Do we see him in racing in group races, potentially in the time-honored Coonji? Could be a Coonji horse, but he's on his way to a Melbourne Cup if he can get there.
I think that's the aim, the Cups. That's where they're going with him.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll go to Caulfield Cup as well. But
he might just win on Saturday, first up over the mile, but I think you've got an opportunity to bet against him.
Yeah. Like, he's got a turn of foot. You can't do what he's done and not have a turn of foot, but yeah, he seems right enough price, maybe a little bit short. A couple of Instagram. Tom Kennedy, Moira, each way play. I think Bott was had an opinion there.
Which one, sorry?
Moira. In the
Oh, box. Yeah. She was well supported in the Doncaster and she got some good international form.
Yep. Jordan Telfo, surely Fleetwood in race 8 at Doomben is a must bet. I must admit I haven't done the form there, but...
Well, let's hope he's better than the golfer because he is a cat.
Keeps going. Which race day out of the big three, Everest, Melbourne Cup or Cox Plate, are you the most excited for?
The Everest.
I've got to say the Everest. Even though I'm excited for Cox Plate Day, always am. But yeah, we've got Kaying Rising going for a lot, and we're all going hopefully. So it's going to be exciting. Coops at home. Which current horse would you most compare yourself with?
I'm not answering that.
Kaying Rising, best in the world.
probably Giga Kick, fat and past it.
Same.
What do you think of Reinberg's new silks? Oh, I love Tyson's silks, the orange and blue, so I like them. Brady White, does Scenic Point piss in? Yes, hopefully. And Stu, only 65 days to go to the Everest. Yes, brother. And Lizette is le shit. Thanks for pointing that out post-race after I launched it.
He's so shit with that stuff. Shut up, mate.
Anyway, Nico, we'll say goodbye to you now, mate. What's plans tonight? You're with the boys at the moment up in the Gold Coast?
Yeah, I'm up on the Goldie at the moment. We're about to go to the casino, I think.
All right. Don't lose all your money.
No, I'm just observing tonight.
All right. Observer. There you go.
Can I have my entire life on you not just observing tonight?
Well, I'm with a mate who won a grand jackpot a couple of weeks ago. It might have been just shy of 60 slices, so he's just rolling.
He won 60 grand in the fucking pokies.
Grand jackpot a couple of weeks ago, 60 slices.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm just there to make sure he doesn't blow it tonight.
Hey, boys, what is going to fucking happen?
Here you go.
Hold on, to turn him on mute and the podcast.
Before we get taken off.
Let's keep this PG. He's
coming. All right, don't say anything that'll get me shot.
He's going to come and supervise me. All right, money's okay. Good.
Okay, we're good.
I'll see you soon. We'll check back in later.
See you soon. Well done on winning 60 grand. And behave yourselves. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
He's an animal.
And put those phones away. All right. Have a good one, boys. Catch us later.
See you, boys.
All right.